Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Joan Adams and I host this show. The call number tonight is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is the yoga nurse, or Annette Tersigny. Annette changed career paths from a member of the Mighty Carson Art Players on the Johnny Carson Show some years ago to nurse healer specializing in yoga and meditation. So Joan and I are very excited to hear what she has to say this evening. But first of all, here is Joan Adams.
Thank you, Kate. Good afternoon.
Or should I say, here's Joni.
I knew you were going to do that.
I don't know what possessed me. How are you this evening?
Wonderful, thank you. And you?
I'm great. It's a very interesting weather pattern we're having here on the East Coast, and kind of rainy and cool.
Oh, nice. It's beautiful and sunshiny here, so we haven't seen any rain in the South.
Ooh, drought.
Yeah, I hope not.
I hope not. We won't say that word.
No, we're not going to do that again this year.
I think the yoga nurse is, Annette is with us right now, so let me bring her on.
Greetings.
Hello. Greetings to you.
Hello, or blessings.
Greetings.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm delighted to be here with both of you.
Well, we are very happy to have you as well.
Yes, that's I'm a trying... nice calm voice.
Doesn't she have a beautiful voice?
Yes, she really does. That's great.
Oh, my.
I was wondering, trying to think about how you and I connected on the internet. It's been quite some time that, you know, we've, quote, known each other, and I guess maybe you fell upon one of my blogs, or I found you, but, you know, you and I are sort of in the same niche, as it were, the nurse healing, you know, trying to bring healing to the workplace where the nurses are all burnt out and all that kind of great stuff, but it sounds to me like you've probably pretty much gotten out of the workplace.
Well, let me just kind of rewind here. I actually remember how we started our relationship.
Oh,
I
tell
ordered.
Me.
Yeah. I ordered your great book.
Oh,
wow.
Good. Good.
Yeah. You know, the Nurse Transformation book?
Yes, I do know.
Of
do
course
know.
You would know about that. And I said, here's a like-minded soul.
Oh, that's
and then,
so great.
Yeah, and then I so dug the book that I wrote to you, and we started a relationship, a friendship, and became colleagues, and here we are today.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I don't know how I blanked out on that. That's
your
pretty
modesty.
Wonderful. Oh, it must be. But I appreciate the fact that you read that book and that you liked it. That's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it does, it's kind of like a nursing memoir, you know, where all the stuff we have to do and how it has made us so much better people.
Yes. And I really honor all of your nursing wisdom and all of the years that you've put in and that you continue to put in. You know, you asked me if I'm in the workforce. Well, I'm really doing both. I have my own private practice, which is growing more and more. This, you know, yoga nursing thing
yeah.
that is growing, that has given birth. But I'm still very much involved in grassroots, in the hospital, in the system, because ultimately that's where there's so much healing that needs to be done. That's where we're coming from the same place. My Moon Moo sisters here, yes?
Yes, yes.
I am not a nurse. My hat's off to both of you. I just think it's amazing. It's an amazing career choice. It's a calling. It really is.
I feel that it is, and I feel
yes.
that we really are, as a career, on the same level as a policeman and as firemen, firewomen, policemen, policewomen, because we're on the front lines. And actually,
you said it. Exactly. Those are my words, exactly. On the front lines.
And
yeah,
the challenge, go on. The
challenge
to me would be to get out of that thinking of being on the front lines in terms of how everything is sort of a crisis and how the worst thing that can happen kind of mentality that nurses tend to have doesn't serve them.
No, it doesn't serve them. And I work part-time when my colleagues are sick or they go on holidays in the employee health area of my hospital. I'm in the South, too, by the way, Miss
yes.
Jones.
Yes, I saw
that. And
it's that
been
on
raining
your
like cats website. And dogs, girlfriend, here in the Carolinas.
Really?
We're underwater almost.
No.
Whoa.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm in South Carolina, but I'm near Charlotte,
Gosh.
North Carolina.
Well, we're neighbors.
Yeah, not that far apart. You're out on the coast, right?
Yes, yes. I'm right on the coast. I'm on, like, the South Outer Banks, major coast.
A beautiful area up there, though.
I've never been.
I've heard a lot about it.
And I've never been to South Carolina, and I'm desperate to come to South Carolina.
Well, we have to fix that.
We do. We do. And then we have to get our northern Yankee friend down here.
Oh, I've got her on the way.
Yeah, we're talking about you, Miss Kate Loving.
Well, maybe we should think about all meeting somewhere along. I am coming to South Carolina to meet Joan in April. So
really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You want to come meet us at the beach?
Wow. We should figure something out.
I think we will. I think we definitely have to. Joan is in love with Seabrook. Have you ever heard or been there?
I've heard of Seabrook, but tell me more.
Seabrook is an island off of Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, is that where they have all of that folklore, and there's a whole cultural happening there that goes way back, a certain kind of food and lifestyle? Is that what I'm talking about?
Charleston's definitely that way. Seabrook is more, in my mind, and I don't know a whole lot, really, I enjoy the connection with nature. You know, it's real. It's all a, what's the word I want? It's a protected area for all creatures.
Like a preserve.
Okay. Oh, like a preserve kind of thing. But
Beautiful.
People live there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
lucky people.
It is gorgeous. And you sit in your house and watch the deer and the alligators and the, you know, flora and the fauna, and it's just glorious.
Sign me up. I'm coming. I'm there.
It's wonderful. It really
is. Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
You could do yoga retreats there.
Yeah.
That would be an idyllic place to do yoga retreats.
My daughter-in-law loves to do that down there. She'll go out on the shore at sunup and do her yoga routine on the shore as the sun comes up in the mornings.
According to the ancient yogic practices, that's the ideal time to do yoga, is sunrise and sunset, because it's said that's when the prana, that's the chi, the ki, the life force, the invisible intelligence that makes everything happen, that's when it's most potent.
Ooh.
And meditation as well, as those times are the best. And I also understand noon, 12 noon is a very high potency time.
Would be a very hot time to be out by the coast.
Very hot.
Sure.
That's right. You know,
That's
there's somebody else on the line here, and I
wonderful.
Believe they have your area code, Annette. Let me just see who they are.
Okay.
Hello there.
And hi.
Hi,
Welcome
Annette.
To the show.
I heard somebody say hi, Annette.
Yes, your neighbor.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Barbara?
It is.
I love it. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for coming to this show. That's great.
I saw it through something, and I thought, well, I was curious about what is this, May Moon? Moon and Moo, or whatever.
Moon, Moo, and You. And that's You, yes. Yes.
The You as in Barbara.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Right. That's right. That's right. And we share our collective wisdom here. And sometimes we just don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that's to the good, I think. Exciting.
Whatever is supposed to happen will happen.
Right. We laugh a lot, for sure.
Yeah.
Barbara is a wise woman, definitely, and she has great humor. And I think we all know that, what's that expression, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Yes.
Oh, my heavens, yes.
Yes,
and to think that the two of you are neighbors, that's really cool.
Yeah.
We will be.
Are you on the beach? Are you all on the beach? Are you you're near the
close
beach?
Close to it.
Yeah.
I'm on the beach. I just came back from the beach, actually, doing something very non-yogic. I bought the August edition of Vogue. And I sat on the beach with Vogue magazine, you know.
Oh, how glorious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
It just did my airhead thing. Sometimes you just have to be a girly girl, you know.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We have to be all things, I think.
It's all about balance.
Yes, but not at all times, right?
No, but getting back to this idyllic-sounding place in South Carolina, you know, one of my dreams is more and more to get the word out about these kind of programs and retreats and your wisdom and everything, Kate. And I want to link that. I'm doing a new website. Actually, Barbara is brilliant at doing websites, and she's helping me and will be helping me with all of that. But what I'm getting at is wanting, with my yoga nursing programs, et cetera, to be targeting nurses specifically as a niche market and having these retreats for nurses for self-care.
Oh, yes.
That's
number
wonderful.
One, for self-care. Number two, once they learn it for themselves, they can apply it in direct patient care. And number three, the programs will offer nursing CEUs that are approved by the National Nursing Associations. Because nurses, as you know, certainly Kate, you know that we have to always have ongoing education credits. So, you know, how do you feel about, like, from your end, that you would think about any receptivity about something like that? I'd like to hear your input on that.
Well, I think that if there is a program in place, as you are putting together, that it would be easy to promote because people need to take care of themselves, and they need an extensive, like a retreat arena, in order to maybe a few days of just doing yoga and meditation and silence or whatever,
mm-hmm.
good food, kind of
mm-hmm.
like a retreat, maybe
mm-hmm.
good massaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I've been doing that for a long time. Actually, Barbara, who's on the line, has attended one of my retreats. I've been doing the retreats for years to the general public, and they've always, you know, by grace, gone over very well, but now I'm wanting to, as you say, it's just a question of marketing it to nurses.
Yes, you just need to get a lot of people behind you to help promote it. And I don't know why you can't do that. There's a lot of online kind of support for that. I mean, I notice there's a lot of nurses online that are coming on more and more.
That's true. Well, it's all being put in place. It's all happening slowly but surely.
Yes. And, you know, you work with corporate people. I'm sure they appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, yes. The fact of the matter is that the yoga practice is huge today in America, in Canada, in the U.S. The challenge is getting nurses to do anything for themselves. Yes, there's nurses that are conscious of doing that. I mean, there's two of us on the phone right now.
Right.
And I know many other conscious nurses who are very much on top of self-care. But by and large, my experience is that the majority of our nursing sisters are notorious for not taking care of themselves.
Yes, and you might say that it's a profession of codependency, and because of that, people are afraid to feel guilty. The nurses may feel guilty about taking care of themselves.
Well, they have children and families, and, you know,
yes.
They're the last people they take care of, probably.
Yes, and that's right.
Yeah, and that's a mindset. That's a conditioning.
Yes.
A conditioning that one should not take care of themselves, that is a selfish mode. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think that taking care of yourself first, in other words, putting yourself first, your own self-care and nourishment, is that selfish?
No, I think it's the most important thing you can do. Totally.
You might
kind of like, no, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to hear.
I think that the little bit that I've been taught in doing business is that when we take care of ourselves, we're more available for those who are helping. So, and since you're obviously in the care of business of taking care of people, then that would make sense. And that's, it goes for whether it's in a personal relationship to be there for your kids and husband or whatever. We see it as selfish, and it's, maybe that's a cultural thing, I don't know. But I don't see it that way.
Well, I think women, we've kind of been taught that. And I'm older than you all. And so I've had a time adjusting to all of that, the whole new idea of taking care of yourself. Because as women, we were taught you serve first. And you cannot serve. You can't, as I told somebody the other day, I've always heard you can't give out of an empty pot.
Mm.
You know,
exactly.
You have to take care of yourself first. But I don't think we were taught that for many, many years.
Right.
The world's just now catching up and saying, hey, you know, if you're a caretaker, you better take care of you.
What made the, when did the aha, like when did the change happen for you, Joan? Moo. Are you Moo? You're the Moo, yes? Kate's the Moon and you're the Moo.
I was Moon. I am Moonvine on Twitter. And
a Moonvine, I like that.
Yeah. So that's where the Moo comes from.
Got it.
Where was I? I don't know that I'm there yet. I think I'm in process of getting there. You know, I think it's a slow moving thing. So I'm not gonna say it has occurred to me. I think somewhere in the mid to late 60s, women started looking at their roles and making changes. And so I think it's grown from there, really. I was a young mom, say, in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we were still waiting on our men hand and foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were taught
mm-hmm.
that was the right
mm-hmm.
thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I saw my father touch a broom once in my whole life.
Wow.
I can tell you where we were. I mean, I was in such shock. It's like, oh, no, that can't happen, you know.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, huh. You just didn't dare. It was like disrespectful
mm-hmm.
for him to do something like that. I was
yeah.
mortified. So, yeah, I guess it's been a long trail.
Yeah, that's true. That would be.
Yeah. And I think you all will carry it forward. And then hopefully the young women who are becoming nurses today, I mean, these young women, they don't buy that stuff. I have my daughter
yeah.
in her 30s. And, you know, they do everything more like a co-op. You know, they both clean house. They both work and they both, you know. And they don't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. But anyway, as we move along, as life moves along, we're getting better and we're learning how to take care of ourselves. But I do think it's an education issue.
Well, I think that nurses, too, are not entering the profession like they used to, because there still is the old paradigm of nurses sort of bowing down to the doctors, which
mm-hmm.
is sort of like in the old day when women were bowing down to their husbands. And, and they might enter the profession, but they don't stay in it very long because of these attitudes, these old world attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Betty is saying in the chat room, as far as your program goes in that, that there could be nursing, you know, state nursing organizations that would love to have your program brought into the hospitals, but I don't know how exhausting that would be traveling around. I'm sure you probably would like them to come to you.
Well, that's fascinating because the mission, first of all, it looks like I'm going to be launching the first yoga nursing teacher training. I'm not going to say exactly where yet. It's almost a done deal, but let me say it's in a major yoga and wellness location, the largest in the U.S., and it's located in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like that's going to launch in August 2010.
Wonderful.
And the purpose there, then, is to, you know, I have this mission statement. It's a vision, and the vision is to create, if you can imagine with me here, a global army of yoga nurses. And yoga nurses are modern nightingales. And those modern nightingales will take the teaching, the yoga nursing teaching, which is a combination of traditional licensed nursing with yoga and with the education of the ancient foundation of yoga, but from a very gentle therapeutic paradigm. So it's a marriage of the traditional Western paradigm to the ancient Eastern paradigm. And so these nurses that will learn the basic, like yoga nursing 101, then they can take it into their communities.
Yeah.
And apply it. And then eventually they will get certified to offer their own yoga nursing teacher trainings. Like, I'm seeing this, you know, it's a vision, and I'm seeing this spreading really, truly throughout the United States as a new kind of nursing paradigm. You know, the name of the program is not Annette Tersini. It's pronounced Tersini, by the way.
Thank
Violent
you.
G. Tersini. Like Mancini, Tersini. You know, the program's not named after me. It's called Yoga Nursing because I hope it's a legacy that will truly continue once I leave the body. And I can see that this training could be done in the UK, in the United Kingdom, or in New Zealand, or in Australia, translated into every language. So, you know, there's a large vision, and I'm looking to kind of recruit the initial group of modern nightingales, and then they can take it out into the field. And, you know, not only can they take it into the field, and that means the field at large, into the hospitals and into the communities, but it also offers nurses an opportunity for nurse entrepreneurs to expand their livelihood. And that if they do want to break away from traditional nursing, that this is another type of nursing, because there's so many different types and ways that nurses serve. And you know that, Kate.
Yes, I do. Well, this is a wonderful vision, I think. And I support you 100%. And however I can help you, I would love to help you in any way I can.
Well, you already are. You're having me on the show.
Yes, yes. And go ahead.
Did both of you tweet with other nurses? Like, I know you can do on one of the sites, and I can't remember, it might be Twallow, choose to follow nurses.
Yes.
People in the nursing profession.
Yes.
Well, what a marketing tool that is.
Yes, that's exactly.
True.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
Where the social media is phenomenal. And I follow every nurse that I can follow.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
you, and I think that's
yeah,
the
that's,
answer to it.
Yeah, no, that's very good, Joan. Exactly. Thank you.
I can envision just this army of nurses.
Oh, good.
Collecting
I'm glad
on Twitter.
You can see it.
Yes, I can. because they will hear your story through Twitter. And once they get to your website, that's it.
Right.
You know, they're sold at that point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Florence Nightingale is certainly the backbone of the whole profession, and people still very much uphold her legacy and her ideal. So, and I think the nursing profession does need a little kick in, you know, a little kick of inspiration, because so often people have lost their vision in the profession. And what you're offering is a re-ignition of that original ideal that they had when they entered the profession.
Nurses, you know, my background, I came into nursing very late by nursing standards. I don't really want to get into the age thing, but on the other hand, I don't have an issue with the age thing, because for me, aging is just a number, you know.
Yes.
Truly. But, you know, I graduated from nursing at 51.
Wow.
Oh, neat.
You know,
awesome.
I don't know if you knew that, Kate.
I did not.
Powerful.
You know. I went into nursing at 48. I went back to school. I was teaching yoga. I was nursing my mother, who was dying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother passed away when I was on a break from nursing school, and I was with her when she died. And I knew when my mother passed that I was going to be able to be a nurse. I knew that I would be able to help people to live. And I also knew that I'd be able to help people to die. And really, that's what nurses do. Nurses are there when you come in to the world.
Yes.
Nurses are there when you go out. And excuse me in plain language, if I can be plain language on this forum here. When it comes to illness, well, let's face it, we're wiping your ass when you're coming in, and we're wiping your ass when you're going out.
Well,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I mean, we're really in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I digress here, but I digress.
But that's so true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
No.
But nurses suffer from a low self-esteem is what I was getting at, you know, because I came into nursing late in life. I've lived an extraordinary life. I never dreamed I was going to be a nurse at 51.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I, you know, hit the floors at 51, I was shocked at the, as I said, the very low self-esteem that I see that is like a systemic disease in the nursing profession. Like, nurses don't realize the amazing gift that you give. Like, people like you, Kate, who've been in nursing for how long, please?
25 years.
Amen.
But certainly not, but I'd like to say not as long as many others, but.
Okay. Okay.
But that's not, that's silly to say that. I mean, 25
okay, but
years,
25 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, 25 years, that's when, excuse me, I get down on my knees and I prostrate. I'm bowing right now.
Oh,
because
I appreciate
you see,
that.
You've really been in it. That's where you have, talk about a service. That is a service. And that should be of the highest esteem. And should be highly esteemed. And I think you know, or if you don't know, I'm going to remind you that nurses, for I think it's the second or the third year in a row, and you can verify this, the Gallup poll has voted nurses the number one profession for trust.
Yes.
For trust.
Trust.
Yes. Far beyond physicians or anybody else, it sounds like.
Yes.
But, you know,
so,
what does that say?
Well, it says that we have a lot to go on, and we can build on so much if we love ourselves first.
Mm. The other thing I got to make you jump back and see real quick, Kate, talking about your 25 years, is a mental picture, if you will, of all of the lives you've touched in 25 years.
Yes. That's, well, I even had somebody name their baby after me. That's cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. And apparently this little one asked, I had to leave my practice, and my nurse practitioner practice, which meant that I left that family. And then I changed into the field of labor and delivery nursing. But I really do miss my patients, and I miss that little girl. And she found me, not the little girl, but her mother found me on Facebook, and so we communicate again. That's fun. I love social networking because we can all meet people in a different arena and touch them in different ways. But as far as our wonderful profession goes, I think, you know, if you can break through these barriers, you really will do well. And these barriers are formidable because of, but as Pat O'Brien says, that's how Joan and I met, was through Pat O'Brien, who's an internet marketer, that any problem at all can be created into a product. So you're talking about all these women with these low self-esteem and with their inability to stand up to authority like doctors. And then you have the problem in the profession of all people like us who are going to retire and leave a huge shortage in its place. And this is so the whole idea of turning to spirit and helping people to connect with their great strength and their resources could be, you know, very well needed at this time.
Yes.
Betty has a question for both of you in the chat room. Kate, do you see that?
I will get to it. Let's see. The image, she says, the image of nursing has changed. The lack of professional uniforms has decreased respect for the profession. She admits to being old-fashioned. And I'm sorry, Betty, you said that. I didn't. We have several who will not let go of the white, and I love it, she says. So, but if nursing is number one profession for trust, I don't know if we have lost that respect. You know what I'm saying? So, it's interesting because it's hard to say. Respect is something that the young people, and so we have a unit in our hospital where people are doing a lot of infighting, and people are really upset and shouting at each other in the halls, and just somehow the morale has fallen to such a degree that everybody's quitting and being very disrespectful to each other. But I think you're going to have that kind of thing in the workplace, just ups and downs, and then you have the corporations kind of taking over medicine, the health insurance companies taking over medicine to such a degree that it's like a stranglehold. So these things are going to change, and I think that's only going to help the profession. They will change because our healthcare system is in such a rut right now. So, I mean, I think you could ride the wave of all of that and do well.
Indeed. It's an exciting wave to ride.
I know at Betty's hospital they have, and that's my sister in the chat room. But at the hospital where she works, they even have an alternative healing division, like as a part
lucky,
of the.
Oh, lucky, lucky hospital.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're really forward thinking, I think.
There are a lot of those, but they're really minimal in terms of, if you look at the total amount of hospitals, they're a drop in the bucket, but, you know, that little drop would be sorely missed, as Mother Teresa would say, you know, if it wasn't there. And hopefully those drops are going to grow into a little river and then eventually a lake, and it will be the common denominator. And I feel that, again, it's the meeting of the two worlds that will be the new paradigm, and we're living in really interesting times.
right.
Yes.
Betty's correcting me here. She's saying that's called the Mind Body Institute. I did not say that very well.
Ah.
It is the Mind Body Institute in Athens, Georgia, which I think it's amazing. And I think if there's one, if there are 10, it just means we're moving in that direction.
Yes, we have this kind of thing in some of the hospitals around here as well, and I can't say that they're thriving. And then, of course, the current state of the economy, everybody just sort of jumps on this bandwagon that we can't afford it, but we have to. We can't afford not to.
Ah, that's it.
That's
we can't afford not to.
Isn't that the truth? Wow. And, of course, this, I just think we need to, the thing Joan and I have learned about doing this show and having so many interesting people on is that there is this new paradigm of thinking. And we have said many a time that it's very much alive and well on the Internet. People have, forward ways of thinking, gratitude, love, the law of attraction, and all kinds of psychic kinds of healing modalities, and that the world is going to catch up to the Internet. The Internet is the new paradigm, the new age, as it were, even though the new age is very ancient.
Mm-hmm.
But it's happening, and there's such a forward movement. We had a woman on here the other week who said that it's not going to be very long at all, that your vision, Annette, will become a reality. Because you are moving in the right direction. You are in the flow of what exactly is happening. There's a lot of energy that is taking place in the other realms to make this happen. And so what you're doing, you cannot fail. And your vision will become a reality.
Hmm.
And the profession needs to rise to the occasion. I'm talking about nurses. And I think that they can and they will, because they have to go with the wave. She said,
and
this woman said
are.
It's going to happen very soon. Within
she said immediately,
who said?
Almost.
This woman, her name is, well, she on the Internet. Well, we can get you hooked up with her on Twitter. She's all about energy. You can just check that out. And her name is Amy Flynn, Flynn. And she's just one of those, a psychic woman who communicates with the other realms, and she says that it might even just be in a year or two that all this, and it might be that end of the Mayan calendar is addressing that whole thing, is addressing the fact that we're about to be plummeted into this other realm
mm-hmm.
of utopian thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's it. The collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've talked about that for a long time when there's, it's kind of like the 100th monkey effect.
Right.
Absolutely.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And seeing the Internet is making that happen faster.
Yes.
Because we're all communicating.
Right.
And and because we're connected, we become a force.
Yes.
May the force be with you.
or the
ain't
force.
No stopping that force now.
The force to be reckoned with.
Uh-huh, that too. Forza. Now my Italian is coming out. No, I'm saying it in Italian.
So I think that we are about to, in fact, are inwardly experiencing this incredible force. And then what is frustrating for me personally is going out into the world and seeing, it seems like the old paradigms are thriving so well there. But I think maybe that's an illusion.
Oh, now you really get onto a hot subject. Well, the paradigms crumble, and the only constant is change, and from a yogic perspective, everything's an illusion.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can,
and that's a whole other metaphysical discussion for another show. In other words,
true.
You know, is this real, or are we dreaming this all right now?
And does it matter?
Even better, and does it matter?
I don't think it does.
Hmm.
That's why, since it really doesn't matter, we might as well live the new paradigm right now and not wait for something else to happen, because it is right now. Everything is right now, so we might as well just live it.
Exactly.
Instead of waiting
fearlessly.
For it to happen.
Fearlessly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the I Ching says, it furthers the man, the woman, to cross the great water.
Ah. Beautiful, isn't it? So poetic.
Mm.
So this ancient wisdom that you have been practicing, and that is really not the new age. It's such ancient wisdom.
It's ageless.
And ageless.
Timeless,
yeah.
Formless, and eternal.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to tap into. That's what nurses need to tap into, is the fact that, you know, that eternal, timeless moment that we all live in is once people connect with that, there really is no turning back.
No,
for instance,
there is no back.
When you were with your mom and she died, and I was with my mother when she died, that was just such a precious gift that you, and I'm also with many births as a labor and delivery nurse, seeing these beautiful babies pop into the world with these amazing, this amazing wisdom of they know everything and they aren't bound by definitions. They aren't bound by having people teach them right or wrong, good or bad. And they know nothing like that, because they've just come from the formless into the form. And so that experience, plus watching people die, I've seen a few of that, those things happen. There's just really no difference really between the two, because when people die, they let go of form. They let go, they're suddenly free just before they die. So I figure we might as well try to get free long before that, just because we know that it's possible.
That's beautiful.
Yes. I think that that's what nurses can teach. We can teach these things. Yes.
It's just, and that's exactly it. So where does this, you know, I'm going back, I'm rewinding when you were talking about the respect, and that nurses have respect and they're number one in the Gallup poll. See, the nurses have the respect of the public, but many nurses, I'm not talking about all nurses, that's not fair, but many nurses do not have self-respect.
Yeah, that is the crux of the matter right there. That's beautiful. They have respect from the public, but they don't respect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as Joan mentioned earlier, they have very full lives, and they have children, they have families, they possibly want to, a lot of people really don't want to work anymore, and they're too young to get out of the workplace. I work with a lot of women, say, who are 25 to 35, and they see this huge span of time before them where they have to go into these dysfunctional work environments.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for them, really.
Right. For another 20, 30, if they're lifers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's just got to get better.
Yes,
it's
and it's
just
well,
got
it's going to
get better. Yes. That's the only place that it can go. You know, after it absolutely goes down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's a universal law. After the earthquake, everything settles down. After the greatest flood and the deluge and the Category 5, then the waters also dissipate and go away. So, you know, whatever rocky ride that we're on right now, I really feel that, you know, if there is a dissolution or a breakdown, well, you know, after the breakdown, then there's the resurrection, and we're really, we're living in the times to really see that, and that's the way it's been since the beginning of time. There's been no difference.
Right.
Or just evolving. That's our purpose, is to evolve to the highest state of consciousness. In yoga, they talk about different ages,
mm-hmm.
where there are dark ages and then there are ages of light and the age of Aquarius, etc. Well, it's been a long time we're in the age of Aquarius, which means
right.
we're coming out of the dark age. And, you know, now we're really starting to get into the peak of the Aquarian age.
That's real interesting. Did you by chance get the messages from Tut every day in the email?
How did you know that?
Because I got it, and you started saying that, and I thought, I just read that.
I just read that.
Yes.
Yes, and it stayed with me, and it was so powerful, Joan, that I shared it.
Yes.
Isn't
that
amazing?
Yes, I read that too.
Isn't that amazing that we're all synchronized with that too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? You see, there's the confirmation that it's real.
Yes, and it's so synchronistic that you know that it's, and it gives you chills, you know, to think about it. It's so powerful.
Mm.
And it's true. It's so true that not to get discouraged about anything, because it's just about, because right now, it is now that if we live it, it will be the transformation that we're all seeking.
Was it Irma Bombeck? Go ahead.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Irma Bombeck that used to say her favorite Bible verse was "It came to pass."
Hmm.
You know, that all of it, everything changes. Everything. Kate has heard me tell the tale again, and we're running out of minutes, but real quickly, I did an exercise one time. It was a spiritual exercise where you went outside and drew a tree, and then a week later you went out and drew the same tree on top of that tree, but in a different color, and then you waited a month and you went out and did it in a different color, and the lesson is that everything changes in time.
Yes, and how interesting that it's a tree that is being used, because they are the most they are so beautiful.
Mm.
And they do change.
Always changing.
Always changing.
Form and color.
Yes.
Shape.
The
depends
only thing
on the
we
light.
Can count on is change, right?
It depends on the light of the day, how the light is falling on that tree. I'm into tree photography lately, and there's just something. And then it's so neat to take a picture of that same tree through the seasons. And like I said, the way the sun falls on it, or the way the clouds, if it's a cloudy day, it's just amazing.
Have you read a little book called Freddy the Falling Leaf?
No. It's so sweet.
It's a way to explain death to children.
Oh.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Freddy the Falling Leaf?
Yes.
That's adorable.
It's a wonderful, wonderful little
Me
book.
Too.
And it fits in with your whole tree thing, Kate.
Yes,
you could use it with the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Because she has
and
gorgeous
do a story.
Pictures of trees, yes. But it's a children's book, and it's one of my top 10.
Wow.
Precious.
Do you read that to your grandchildren?
Not yet. They're not quite old enough for it yet, but I have given it as a gift to children who have lost grandparents and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Because it just explains it all being processed. It's all part of the process. You know, my dad always said he was going to live till he died, but, you know, but true, it's all process. Everything is dying and everything is living again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. Yes. And, boy, can we learn that just by living.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching.
But,
yes.
Yeah, the birth of the day, and, well, you know, I don't think the day ever dies, but just the rising of the sun, the movement of the planets, and
the rhythm of life. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, and it's just amazing to think about our life that expands beyond this planet. Not even, I'm not even talking about life after death, but the whole cosmos, which we can really lose, I personally lose sight of that because, you know, we are so narrowed down to earthly plane, but there is even so much more than just this earth, the whole cosmos and the whole universe. It's just amazing. That one day when I saw the International Space Station go flying across the sky, because, oh my God, that was so cool.
And it was live on the radio.
Well, that was true. And then, and the thing is that we had done a radio show, and all of a sudden my phone, which was not connected at all, my iPhone, which was not connected at all to Twitter, started to Twitter. And all the people were Twittering about the astronauts looking down upon the Earth. And then a few days later, I was visiting a woman whom I had not met before, and she knew exactly when the International Space Station was about to fly over the Earth. So we all went out to the golf course where she lived and watched this thing, and it was just amazing. It was a beautiful night, and all of a sudden, exactly at this time it was supposed to go over, it went very fast. Apparently at some ungodly amount of miles per hour.
Did you see it?
We saw it because, you know, she had it all. She knew exactly when it was going to go over, and then there it was. And so it was like after our show, seeing all that whole thing about the astronauts and then watching the astronauts, it seemed that was another synchronistic event. It was so cool, you know, where you feel connected.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what people need to do. They need to feel
you
connected.
That's it. That's it.
Yes.
It's about connection.
And that's what
versus separation.
Yes.
Because that's our biggest fear. Like in yoga, the foundation in yoga for explaining, you know, the reason why we suffer and why we have upset is
mm-hmm.
because of the false thinking that we are separate. That we are separate from God or from the Creator or from the creative energy. And that's why we suffer and we feel that we're ultimately alone. And
right.
So we're always seeking connection.
Yes, and from that standpoint alone is where it all rests. And to strengthen people's feeling of connection is the greatest gift of all. But people have to feel that within themselves.
Right.
Yes.
I was talking to a friend the other night that was talking about, he was talking about doing a parachute jump, which is a big thing around here right now. But he was saying that the one thing that he would never forget was the moment that he let go and was like between heaven and earth, and he suddenly understood the connection. He said, at that moment, I was a part of both.
Wow.
And and that's why people do it. They do that experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
I felt that one.
Mm-hmm.
That one really, wow. That's like an experience of enlightenment.
Yes. An aha, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that reminds me
of
the time.
I've got to go down there and take a jump with y'all. Jump into the light.
I will be in my house praying while you're jumping.
Oh, my Lord, I'm not sure. I mean, really, I don't know if I could do it. I really don't know if I could do it. I've got my thumb in my mouth right now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm a baby.
Well, it might be, since we are so afraid of it, maybe we should do it.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly. It's always facing the things that we fear the most, yes.
And people do it all the time, and they don't die. And I guess
right.
it wouldn't really matter if we did, because what the heck? But no,
nobody
I think,
gets
you know,
out alive. Nobody gets out of here alive.
That's right. That's right. Hey, maybe we really should think about doing this. This is so cool.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, Kate. You go right ahead.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to pass on that one.
I'm sweating just thinking about it.
I am too. It terrifies me. It totally terrifies me.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is not on my list.
You know, I never wanted to be in the military. Of course, when I was growing up, women weren't in the military, so that was okay. But just, I think these brave women who go into service is just amazing. So
I do too.
I just think it's too bad that there are wars for people to have to engage in. But besides
right.
that, the
right.
fact that the fact is, as Katie, you know, Byron Katie says, there are wars, and that's the reality. So people, women having to go fight these things is just, and they want to. It's just amazing.
Well, I live in a military area here in, in coastal North Carolina. So many of the people that I work with are in the military, or they're married to people in the military, and it could be the wives that have been deployed, or it can be the husbands
Absolutely.
That are deployed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you live in a place kind of like where my brother lives in Norfolk. You know, it's amazing to live in a military area like that because, you know, you have these military planes going over and there's all
yeah.
this military consciousness. But on the other hand, there you are at the beach and there's this timeless ebb and flow of the rhythms of the ocean. And you can get into this timeless space and all of a sudden you realize this military presence. And it seems to me like where you live is probably kind of like that.
It is exactly like that. And I've been to Norfolk, so
yes.
I relate. And they're always doing their maneuvers. Like, I usually say to myself, you know, I pray to the gods and goddesses and say, I hope they're not going to do their maneuvers when I'm doing a radio show. And the gods have been good because it's so loud because they fly so low that it
right.
would drown you out. I would not be able to hear you, and you would literally hear the sound. But, you know, they say down here, that's the sound of freedom.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's the sound of freedom. And we have, you know, the highways. There's only one road where I live. You know, I've been dreaming about living in a one-road town for years, and now that's where I live. There's one road, and that road is called the Freedom Highway. You know, one of the roads is Freedom Highway.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only have a few minutes in the show, and what I would like to just quickly say is that, you know, Joan and I would love to help you with your vision, and I know that we're helping you now, but, you know, we want to continue the help, and it just seems to me that it's a thought whose time has come, and, you know, maybe I can help, maybe we can write e-books about it or, you know, get involved in a joint effort to just get the word out.
That would be fantastic to do that. I would love to do that because you are very talented in that whole ebook thing. You know, we'll continue this discussion and I'll let you know what I'm up to. And a collaboration would be just amazing to do that with you, my nursing
oh,
sister.
Oh, wow.
And
I think
Joan.
We must. I think we must, yeah.
You must give your website before we close off.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Should I give the website?
Yes. Yes, please.
All right. Well, it's pretty simple. It's yoganurse.com, and that's yoga nurse, not yoga nerd. One of my students thought, is that yoga nerd? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I'm a yoga nerd, but no, it's yoga nurse. So that's yoganurse, yoganurse.com. Easy.
It is
it
easy.
Is.
That's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
we
there's
on Twitter.
To listen later too. So.
And then there's on Twitter. It's the Yoga Nurse. The Yoga Nurse. And if you go to my website, you can go to the Contact Us page, get on my mailing list, and I'll send you a fabulous book. I'll send you a fabulous free ebook on being your own doctor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I'll get on there.
Yeah, great.
And Betty's saying she will share that, so she's going to pass your website around too. So
thank you.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You so much. Thank you so much for having me in your space, in timeless space together, united.
I just
wonderful.
Love
wonderful.
Having this conversation. Yes, it's been truly a gift, and we appreciate it and wish you Godspeed. And and of course, it will continue to be a raging success. I'm sure. I think that there's no way it can't succeed. Is what I'm trying to say. So I'm very excited for you and for us and for the world.
Thank
it
you
is
so
happening.
Much.
It is happening, right? And so I'm going to be playing some music here by Klaus Jensen and his partner Henrik Burk Abu. And I'm going to close out with this music. We love you, Annette. I love you, Joan. And
thank you
all
you.
Have
I
a
love
great
you
have a great evening.
Great blessings, y'all.
Blessings.